Hi, my name is Blythe Alberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
Hey guys, Dr. Ray Heinisch here. In today's show, we have the great pleasure of interviewing Mark Sisson, author of the book, The Primal Blueprint, and the popular blog, marksdailyapple.com, both of which I suggest highly. I read this book approximately a year ago and was literally blown away by not just the information that was in the book, but also how the information was communicated. All I can say is by the end of this book, you become a cheerleader for the Paleolithic movement of lifestyle and eating. Okay, so before we go into the interview itself, I do want to set the stage by speaking about one key principle of the primal living movement. In fact, without this principle being true, the whole movement would not exist. And Mark even goes on to say, and I quote, "This is one of the most critical and quite possibly mind-blowing tenets of the primal blueprint." And that tenet is this: our primal ancestors were likely stronger and healthier than we are today. Now, in the book, he goes into great detail about why this statement is true. And I certainly wouldn't do it justice in such a short period of time, but all I can say is that his arguments are quite compelling. I will tell you this, though. Modern-day arrogance, fueled by the bigger, newer, more mechanical is better mentality, believes that technology equals health. And I can tell you, having been trained in the modern medical model, that real health, characterized by energy, vitality, a healthy body composition, does not come from technology. In fact, as Mark points out in his book, our Paleolithic ancestors of 10,000 years ago were likely healthier, stronger, and personally, I might add, happier than modern-day man and woman. So as you listen to Mark, what I'd like you guys to do is pay close attention to the energy, the life, the passion that he has. Just to paint a picture of who's speaking, Mark is 57 years old as of the recording of this interview, and he has a better body composition, energy level, and he's stronger than most people who are 30 years younger than he is. And that is real testimony to the power of the 10 laws of the Primal Blueprint. So I hope you guys enjoy this discussion and, more importantly, are compelled to start implementing some of Mark's principles into your life. So with that said, I take you guys on yet another field trip to my weekly radio program, Your Prescription for Health, where I will be joined by Blythe Alberg and, of course, Mark Sisson, author of the book, The Primal Blueprint. You guys enjoy.
Now, I honestly can't tell you how excited I am that we're doing this show for this hour with Mark Sisson, author of the program of the book, The Primal Blueprint. And the Primal Blueprint is reprogram your genes for effortless weight loss, vibrant health, and boundless energy. And he's going to be joining us here in just a moment on the phone. So, guys, have you been told that grains are good, especially the whole grains? Have you been told that fat is bad, especially the saturated fat? You may have been told that the best way to lose weight is just to hop on a treadmill and run for an hour a day. You may have also been told that cholesterol is your enemy. Well, in today's show, as I mentioned, we're joined by Mark Sisson, author of the book, The Primal Blueprint. Mark, you with us?
I'm here.
Well, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Blythe.
Good morning.
Let me start off, Mark, by telling you that, I read this book. I guess it's been, what, about it? When did I give you that book, Blythe?
I've had it for about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, I think it's been out about a year now?
Yeah, it's been out a year.
Yeah, and I think that's when I got the book, was when it had just come out. And ever since, I've been telling everybody I know, you know, to read this book. And as a matter of fact, I let Blythe borrow my copy, and she has never given it back.
It's sitting right in front of me, and I have lent it out to a couple of people as well.
Great.
Paying it forward.
A lot. Yeah, it's making the rounds.
It is. Now, Mark, why don't you give us a little bit of background about yourself and tell us what inspired you to write this book?
I have a fairly eclectic background in this field. I was a biology major in college and a pre-med candidate. I'd been into health and fitness since I was 11, and started reading Dale Davis and started reading all I could on what it took to be healthy and fit and all the things that everyone wants. And one of the things that I came across is Ken Cooper's treatise on aerobics, and I thought, well, that fit into my plan. So I started running a lot, thinking that that was going to increase my longevity and decrease my chances of getting sick. So before you know it, I'm in college and I'm running 100 miles a week, training for the cross country team and running marathons. I'm eating the conventional wisdom, high carbohydrate, lots of complex carbs, lots of pasta. Turned out I was a pretty good athlete. I was a top, almost national class marathoner, finished fifth in the U.S. National Championships in 1980. I later went on to finish fourth at the Ironman in Hawaii.
Wow.
So I had achieved that sort of performance standard I wanted, but upon reassessing my ultimate goals, I looked at my health and it was abysmal. I had chronic upper respiratory tract infection 6 or 8 times a year. I had osteoarthritis in my feet. I had tendonitis in my joints. I had irritable bowel syndrome, which I chalked up to stress. So you know, having started out on this plan to become as lean, fit, strong, and healthy as I could become, I achieved one of those. I was pretty fit, but I wasn't healthy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even as lean as I could be because I couldn't keep any muscle on as a runner. When I retired due to injuries and illness and everything else a long time ago, I just dedicated the rest of my life to seeing how we could all be strong, lean, fit, happy, healthy, productive, and all the things we want with the least amount of pain, suffering, and sacrifice possible. In other words, it didn't make sense to me that in order to be healthy, you had to suffer and struggle and sweat and grunt and groan and count calories and do portion control and all this other nonsense. It seems to me that life ought to be about enjoyment and satisfaction and ease and pleasure and grace. That's really what set me on this path, to look into how we could optimize gene expression through the foods we eat, the types of exercise we choose to do, and other lifestyle benefits. And those became basically the 10 laws of the Primal Blueprint.
Now, your main premise for this book is basically you're able to reprogram your genes.
Yeah. And a lot of people who have assumptions about the way genes operate kind of raise it, you know, roll their eyes and go, well, you can't really reprogram your genes. Come on, I was given my genes. They're there. They're immutable. And to a certain extent, that's true. I mean, your genes are they're the hardware within your body that but the bottom line is they're basically on-off switches that make protein based and that run, you know, they're the traffic cops of your cell, and they determine what's happening not just the day you're born. They don't just give you your eye color, your skin color, your hair color, and predispose you to a certain weight or height. Your genes are working every second of every day, kind of adjusting to the signals that you send them, cranking out these little proteins that make your body, work and give it the machinery to continue going on a daily basis. In some regards, you're reinventing yourself every day with the signals you send your genes. And the problem is we've misprogrammed our genes over the years because of assumptions we make about civilization, because of assumptions we make about what we ought to be eating or what ought not to be eating. And unfortunately, a lot of this programming has led to obesity, type 2 diabetes, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, and all the things that we're afraid of. And ironically, a lot of the information we've been given by the medical community and by our government through the U.S. Department of Agriculture's food pyramid, in my estimation and through my research, are almost diametrically opposed to what our genes expect from us after 2 million years of human evolution.
Now, you know, we're going to get into those principles, but there are two things that I wanted to do before we get into that. Number one, you're not, you know, no offense, but you're not a doctor or a scientist.
Yeah.
Why should listeners believe your advice over somebody who's been through, you know, God knows how many years of medical school and residency training and so forth?
Yeah. Well, you know, you say I'm not a scientist, and yet I've spent the last 30 years doing research. So I'm not sure at this point what constitutes a scientist. I got my degree you know, from a prestigious college with a major in biology, and I've spent the last 30 years, most of my day is involved in research and reading. And, you know, I encounter on a regular basis, I encounter physicians who learned what they learned in medical school and then sort of stuck to that doctrine in the face of tremendous mounting research that shows that a lot of the things that they learned were probably wrong or at least were misguided. One example, a simple example, is this notion that saturated fat is somehow bad for you. If most of the research in the last 10 years would suggest that saturated fat is not only good for you, it's a critical component of our diet, and the fact that we would consciously eliminate saturated fat from our diet has been causing a lot of harm. Another assumption is that cholesterol in our diet is bad for you. Cholesterol is one of the most important molecules in the body and is used in so many different ways as a raw material for the manufacture of hormones, for the manufacture of vitamin D, for the manufacture of even cell membranes. So, you know, my response is I've been living this now for 30 years and doing the research, and now with my website, marksdailyapple.com, where we have tens of thousands of visitors every single day, many of whom have adopted this Primal Blueprint strategy and are now coming back and telling us their fabulous success stories, which include not just losing, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 pounds over a few months, but this idea that they go back to visit their doctor and their blood lipids have now all come back into what we would consider a low-risk environment.
Hmm. Now,
go ahead.
You basically started on this path, the Primal Blueprint, through blogging, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's sort of interesting. I've been in the health field for a long time. I have a supplement company, and one of the things I did in my eclectic background was I was in charge of drug testing for the sport of triathlon worldwide. So I was the commissioner, the anti-doping commissioner for triathlon, and was its liaison to the International Olympic Committee for about 12 years. So I've seen all the sides of performance from, you know, legitimate dietary interventions to types of training methods to obviously the performance-enhancing substances that athletes tend to sometimes want to gravitate to get a benefit. And with all of these different modalities that I've taken a look at in my own life, my own personal experience, my research, my involvement in the anti-doping movement, I started a blog, and I just started talking about what I uncovered over the years in the blog, which kind of was a kind of as most blogs I think start out. I just had something I needed to say, and I made a commitment that I was going to post something new and exciting and insightful every single day for a year. And I figured after a year I'd run out of stuff to say. Well, 4 years later, I post something every single day, and all it's done is open up this immense world of possibilities with all of these other lifestyle things. We talk about sleep. We talk about types of bedding that you can use when you sleep. We talk about play and the types of activities that the human brain craves. We talk about certainly a lot about diet. We put recipes on there. Well, about 2.5 years ago, I thought, you know, the problem with a blog is you might write the most insightful, wonderful piece in the world, and there it is on your blog page, and then 4 days later, it scrolls off the page into the Ethernet.
Yeah.
You know, and then unless somebody knows what to look for, it's gone. So I decided to put all of these, organize all these thoughts into the book, and that became the Primal Blueprint. And the book has done incredibly well. It's a hardcover book, 283 pages. We went to number 2 worldwide on Amazon in overall sales March 17th.
Great.
It's been number 1 in every single health category. And people are just, as I gather that you guys have too, you know, it's a real kind of eye-opening treatise on not just diet and exercise, but all facets of life and how you can literally and quite simply kind of realign your genes, and this gets back to the original premise that you can reprogram your genes in the direction of burning off your stored body fat, of having more muscle, of getting sick less often, and even of living longer.
One thing I love about bloggers, you know, people who start their careers as bloggers, is that their whole being is for the people, is for the people who, their readers, and for the people that are looking to learn this stuff.
Sure.
And the book is written in such a way, Mark, and I have to give you credit for this, that it's a very easy read, even though the information may get technical at times. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to get through.
And everything's summarized. You can go
yes.
back and just kind of refer.
Yeah, that was a unique little spin that we decided to put on it, that one of my editors put on it, which was, you know, there are people, we recognize that this information is so important that we don't want to leave anybody out. If there's a chapter you think might not be of interest to you, here's three paragraphs that summarize the chapter before you even get into it and kind of tell you what you need to know. And then if you want to get into the meat, literally and figuratively, the detail of it, you know, then we go on with the chapter. I do think that, you know, most of this is information. I didn't discover this information myself. This is stuff that's been put out there for the last two decades. Some brilliant, brilliant researchers and writers have been trying to raise awareness of this idea that we shouldn't be eating grains, that we should be consuming more saturated fat within the context of the rest of this diet, that we shouldn't be doing so much of this chronic cardio activity as we seem to have thought. So a lot of these writers have been writing about this. My goal was to make it readable, to take the science and put it into a format, and we've got a couple of stories in the book as well, that people could grasp and understand and say, oh, now I get mm-hmm. how the body works.
Now,
my mission is for people to understand how the body works, so that I'm not saying I have necessarily the right way. I have a way that I think is the best way, and I can show you why it's worth your considering.
Great. Well, you know, another thing I like about bloggers is they like to get other people's, you know, questions. They like to answer other people's questions, and I know you wanted us to take phone calls as well. So let me go ahead and put the phone number out there. I already got people online waiting for you. So, let's go ahead and give the phone number in the studio for the first time in this hour, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to get on and ask Mark a question, please feel free to do so. We do have a couple people on. If you don't mind, can we take those calls?
Let's do it.
All right. Hello, Chris.
Hi there. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I am fantastic. It is an honor to speak to Mr. Sisson. I got into him a few months back, read through the book, really love the fact that you summarized everything because my attention span is short, and I have seen great results. I was having stomach issues, went to the doctors, and I got it's irritable bowel, which is pretty much, I guess, a better terminology for we're not really sure, but just, you know, you might want to lay off this or maybe lay off that.
Right.
I had a great results from following your diet plan or your book, your way of life, rather, and I just couldn't be happier. My one question for you when it comes to working out is you mentioned lifting heavy things. And it doesn't seem like it's that long or that often throughout the week. How do you feel about, like, the 300 workout or the 5x5 workout? You're kind of doing five sets of five repetitions of really heavy weight. How do you feel about that kind of stuff?
You know, 5x5 is a great program. The 300 is a great program. How I feel about exercise programs in general, and we have to kind of dial it back a little bit and go back to the original premise, which is, many of us assume that we have to work out a lot in order to get to maximize our strength and our tone, to lower our body fat. Well, when you kind of drill down and you understand how the human body works in response to certain types of foods, and when you get the diet dialed in, you realize that 80% of your body composition results come from your diet.
We are joined on the phone with Mark Sisson, author of the book, The Primal Blueprint. Blythe has just been itching to say something.
Yeah, Mark, one thing I really want to mention about this book, and that, you know, if somebody's going to walk away with one little blurb from this book, are the 10 laws that you say, learn them, know them, live them. This is something, each law is so reasonable, number one, extremely easy to follow, especially, you know, you've got, on page 32, you've got the little ending paragraph of chapter one that just lists them all out. And even if you don't get any more information than that to somebody, they could pick one or two of those a week to work on. I think it would be extremely easy for someone to implement into their life.
Now, we're gonna get into those laws here in just a second, but I do have Stephen on the phone calling from Boston. So if it's okay, can we take that phone call?
Of course.
All right, let's do it. Stephen, you know, by the way, Mark, you know, Stephen Cabral, he's one of my personal coaches, and I was in a training with him not that long ago. It was actually just a few weeks ago. And this book obviously came up, and I mentioned it to him, and he went out and he got it. And so he wanted to call and ask you a couple questions.
Let's do it, yeah.
Steve, you with us?
Hey, Mark. Sorry, I'm already introducing myself. Go ahead, Ray, sorry.
No, go for it.
Hey, Steve.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on the line today. And like Ray said, I literally just picked this book up about a week ago because as Ray and I were just talking back and forth about some advanced nutrition and things like that, he said, you have to read this book. Because a lot of times it feels like, you know, you're a man on your own island when you're preaching to your clients and you're trying to talk to people about how whole grains and grains aren't healthy. And, you know, because you're battling basically the Wall Street Journal and USA Today saying, oh, you have to get your whole grains in and, you know, the food pyramid and all of that. So when someone looks at a book like yours, The Primal Blueprint, it's amazing. It's a refreshing to really see what is the truth that I believe is the truth. So
that.
I just want to say that and give you a little a plug. Anybody who doesn't have the book, I mean, I have, literally, I would say, hundreds of books on nutrition, health, and fitness. And this would I would put this in the top, we'll say 10, for books on that sum everything up to someone who basically doesn't have a background on primal eating or paleo eating.
Great. So,
Thanks for that.
So, obviously, like I said, believe 95% in everything that you're saying in the book. My big points are this, and maybe I can just say them, and you can kind of, play devil's advocate, and you can kind of give me your points so I can get a better background on where you're coming from. Before I say that, though, I really like your point of listening to earlier on the call of you saying that, you're not a scientist, you're not a doctor, but in my view, I mean, I research for an hour a day, and I'm sure you do the same exact thing. I've been doing that now for 14 years. You've been doing it for 30 years. I'm assuming that would give you as much credibility, if not more, without the letters after your name, as someone who just graduated when they're, 30 years old from medical school. That's my opinion.
Right.
You have much more real-world experience plus education. So my big thing is, and what I recommend is fruits. I'm probably not as liberal with them as you are. I really believe the quote saying that, if you want the fruit, go climb the tree and get it. So, after your exercise, I think it's beneficial, although now we're seeing maybe you need to wait a little bit because growth hormone is suppressed if you're eating sugar and carbs after your workouts. The other thing is I believe in an overfeeding day, and I don't really see that mentioned in the book. I know it might be in there a little bit, but one where you do actually consume probably twice as many carbohydrates as you would once per week or even just a reward meal every 5 to 7 days. And then my biggest question is, and this is to you because I don't have the answers, what do we do about children and lunches at schools and snacks at schools? How do we not give them sandwiches to take to schools? So if I could get your answers, that'd be awesome.
Thank you very much for the call, Steve.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going to put you on hold so you can continue to listen.
Yeah, I guess with regard to the overfeeding thing, just for the audience, there's a theory out there that, and again, let's back up and tell the audience that one of the main premises of the Primal Blueprint is that that insulin is the main driving hormone in the body. There's, glucagon and ghrelin and leptin and all these other ones, but insulin is a primary driver of fat storage in the body. And if you can control the amount of insulin you secrete in response to your diet, you can control whether the fat excess calories get stored as fat, or if you lower insulin, whether the fat cells are allowed to let the fats come into the bloodstream and be used as energy. So when we control insulin through our diet and primarily through our intake of carbohydrate, we've got a real good grasp on whether or not we store fat or burn off our stored body fat. Now, one of the assumptions that some of the people in the blogosphere make is that if you eat a low-carb diet every single day, then you get some down-regulation of some of the genes involved in insulin sensitivity, and therefore you ought to be perhaps what Steve referred to as overfeeding once in a while. And that means increasing the amount of carbs, maybe doubling the amount of carbs. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of overfeeding. I don't do it myself. At least I don't do it intentionally. I do it probably unintentionally every once in a while when I go to a friend's house or somebody's got a big dinner and I throw caution to the wind and I, you know, overconsume the things that I otherwise would suggest are bad for me or at least not beneficial to me. So the overfeeding thing, I think there's a lot of manipulation that goes on in the bodybuilding world. And again, when we talk about young men, usually in, from their 20s to their late 30s, who are trying to increase mass of their muscles and trying to increase the amount of glycogen that their muscles store, because for every gram of glycogen, there's 3 grams of water that are stored as well, and so it makes the muscles look bigger. There's a lot of that, which is sort of secondary to the original concept of overfeeding, and I have to kind of parse that out and go, well, that's, since we're not interested in getting on the cover of a bodybuilding magazine, we're just interested in maximizing our power to weight ratio, our overall strength, our speed, agility, lowering our body fat and all those things. Now, with regard to the insulin sensitivity issue, I'm, again, not certain that there's any reason to overfeed. However, we looked at it in a major blog post we did about a month ago and looked at some of the research, and it's certainly one of those areas that I would suggest that probably can't hurt anybody to be on the Primal Blueprint program and then to try once in a while to do an overfeeding. And again, what Stephen is saying is that overfeeding means increasing your carbs from, say, 100 or 120 a day to maybe 250 one day a week. Can't hurt. Worth trying. One of the things that we talk a lot about on Mark's Daily Apple is the idea that, you know, this is an opportunity for you to take information that we put out there and experiment with it. You become the experiment of one. We're just giving you sort of the parameters and keeping those experiments healthy. We're not going to let you experiment with anything that's going to be potentially destructive to your health.
What about the fruits?
Yeah, now the fruit, you know, if I had an hour or two, we could talk about the whole concept of fruit in the context of evolution and the notion that in many areas of the world where we humans evolved over the past 100,000 years, that fruit was a seasonal thing, and that fruit, you know, fruit contains fructose. Fructose is a form of sugar that does not really conform to the same insulin pathways that grains and other forms of sugar in that convert to glucose do. So fruit, with its fructose, sort of goes directly to the liver and gets converted into triglycerides or fats, can get stored as fats. These are all considerations when we look at the types of food that we want to include in our diet. So when I have somebody who's trying to lose weight, one of the things I say is, and it's law number one, is eat lots of plants and animals.
Mm-hmm.
It means don't eat lots of grains, and we avoid, you know, some of the poisonous foods. But so that means meat, fish, fowl, eggs, nuts, seeds, vegetables, and a little bit of fruit.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to lose weight, I would suggest that fruit is probably not your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've lost your weight, once you've arrived at your ideal body composition, then fruit becomes something that if you really enjoy fruit and it's a important part of your day to maybe top off a workout or something with a piece of fruit, go for it, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not an anti-fruit guy. I'm just suggesting that if some people will say, particularly who have a sweet tooth or who have this ongoing relationship with sugar and with carbohydrates, and they say, well, if I'm going to go eat this primal way, then I'm going to I'll eat a little bit more meat, fish, fowl, eggs, nuts, and seeds. But since I love my fruit, I'll keep my sweet tooth with my fruit.
Right.
And it's sort of antithetical to what we're trying to achieve there. We're trying to get rid of that sweet tooth and trying to get rid of those cravings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm no longer the huge fan of fruit that I was, you know, 15 years ago. And there's a spectrum. There's a continuum. So there are some fruits that are like berries. Blueberries, one of my favorite things. Blueberries have fairly low fructose. They're high in antioxidants. Doesn't take many to satisfy, so and they're so expensive that you can't just go out and gorge on them. the way you can with, say, a watermelon or something. So there are different levels of I would say acceptability. I'm not sure that's an accurate statement, but there's a spectrum, and some fruits contain a lot more fructose than others, and there are places you can go on the internet to discern that.
All right, and I do want to get into the 10 principles. We're kind of running out of time here, so if you could just touch briefly on the issue with children. What do we do with children?
Yeah, that's just a huge dilemma for me, because I say with children, the first thing you do is just show by example. If you have kids and you are undertaking this Primal Blueprint, then I just suggest that you prepare meals. We have a cookbook out now, the Primal Blueprint cookbook, that's also run it way up on Amazon. People are loving it because these meals are very, very, they're healthy, they're low carb, they're delicious. And I say start preparing food at home for at least the at home meals for the kids, so that they get into this kind of way of eating. When you go to school, you say, well, what do I give my kids to take to school? If they're taking lunches to school, then you look at things like, what's maybe a cold chicken leg or some beef jerky or some canned, some tuna fish in a wrap instead of with bread.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, I don't have the answer, and I have kids. I've raised them. But with trying all these different ways of doing it, and I'm not suggesting I have an answer. It's just, it's a huge dilemma, because you watch what goes on with kids in the world, or at least in the U.S., these days, and it's appalling, and it just seems like unless we get a handle on it really soon, it's just going to be more and more difficult for them to turn their lives around.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait for the Primal Blueprint Children's Edition.
Ooh,
well, that's
like
one
that.
Of our. That's one of the things planned. We've got so many new informational pieces planned. That's one of them.
Well,
sure.
I mean, you already started it, because you actually have names for the cave people in the book, right?
Yeah.
And all right, so we. We've only literally got about probably 8 minutes of active time. We've got about 3 minutes left before we go to the news. So let's start by going into the 10 principles in the book. Why don't you start with number one?
Number one is eat lots of plants and animals. And it's pretty simple. The converse of that, I mean, it really means we eat meat, fish, fowl, eggs, nuts, seeds, vegetables, and fruits. Full stop. Don't eat grains. Of course, law number two, avoid poisonous things. Would carry on with that and say don't eat what we call Neolithic agents like hydrogenated fats and oils.
Mm.
These are the seed oils like sunflower seed oil and safflower oil and even canola oil. Avoid poisonous things would certainly mean in my book avoid things that have anti-nutrients. That would be the grains and many of the legumes. Number three, move frequently at a slow pace. That means our ancestors spent their lives walking, crawling, migrating, foraging, moving around. It wasn't about burning calories. It was just about the movement that stimulated capillary perfusion so they could get oxygen to their muscles. And it was not about counting calories on a readout. It was simply about the movement. So this translates for most people into walk. Walk a lot. Park further away from work. Take the stairs instead of the elevator, that sort of thing. Law number four, lift heavy things. We talked a little bit about that. Twice a week, go to the gym and do a full-body resistance exercise, because our ancestors were into lifting heavy things. Law number five is sprint once in a while. We know from the ancestral records, the reason we survived is get out of harm's way. Our ancestors had to sprint for their lives for 10 or 15 or 30 seconds whenever there was something going to chase them down and kill them, or conversely, when it was time to get dinner and they had to chase something down to kill it for dinner.
And so, what you're saying is there's a value to that as far as health is concerned.
Absolutely. Our genes expect us to do this all-out, quick, intense push. And sprinting doesn't just have to be running. It can be sprinting on a bike. It can be sprinting on a rowing machine. It's 10 to 30 seconds of all-out, 100% effort with a two-minute rest a couple of times. In one session once a week, and that's what that'll promote growth hormone and testosterone, which works for women as well as men. Number six.
Well, before you go to six, Mark, let's go ahead and take a break.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll do the final five.
Six through
ten. Yep,
yeah.
6 through 10. And again, you know, we're talking to Mark Sisson, author of the program, the book, The Primal Blueprint. Mark, how do they get a hold of you?
Go to primalblueprint.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they can read more about the book, or marksdailyapples.com.
And the book's available all over the place at
all
various bookstores.
Amazon's probably the easiest, fastest way, but Barnes & Noble, Borders, you know, all the major bookstores carry it.
And I went through and made sure of that in the local bookstores because I'm always in there. So, and it is available, so go check it out. It's called The Primal Blueprint. We'll be right back after the break. You know, Mark, just so you know, one of our listeners and friends just texted Blythe. What did she text?
She said, "I suddenly have an urge to go chase a deer down for dinner."
So your message is getting out there.
Getting through. I love it.
Okay, so we have about 6 minutes left. So why don't you go ahead and start with number six?
Number six, which is almost intuitive for most people, but they just don't do it. We devote a fair amount of time in the book to achieving this, and that's get adequate sleep. One of the most overlooked and easy, you know, least sacrificial, least painful and suffering activities is getting enough sleep, and yet somehow we find ways not to do that. So it's crucial. Law number seven is play. We don't play enough, and that has to do more with stress management than just about anything else. Our ancestors and even hunter-gatherer tribes today do as little work as possible because they like to lounge around and play and engage with other people. We've lost that as well, so we spend a fair amount of, again, give a number of strategies on how to incorporate play into your life.
Can you give us one of those strategies?
Well, yeah, I mean, here's my strategy. The only reason I work out, the only reason I go to the gym twice a week to lift heavy things and once a week to sprint is so that I can play. And I try to structure my play as physically as I can. I mean, I do other things in terms of play, but after I hang up from you guys, I'm heading out the door to my weekly Ultimate Frisbee game where we'll play for 2 hours. We'll play Ultimate Frisbee and have a blast.
How old are you, Mark?
I'm 57, and I can still keep up with the 16-year-olds and the 17-year-olds on the long bomb sprint to the end zone.
Woo-hoo, I love it.
Very good.
Later on this afternoon, I'll probably go for a two-hour stand-up paddle on my stand-up surfboard. I'm really into that kind of activity. It at no point seems like it's a workout to me. I'm out there having fun. I'm paddling with dolphins. I'm catching a wave here and there. So I structure a lot of my activity. Last night I went for a 6-mile hike. It wasn't planned. My wife is in a photography class, and there was this field that she'd come across a while back, and she couldn't remember where it was. So as the sun was going down, we headed off to get a photograph for her class. It wound up being a 6-mile hike. It was unbelievable. It was fabulous. And again, it was fun. We had a great time. We had a blast. It was not a workout. I try to structure my life around how can I have more fun? Where can I find moments of play that may, in fact, have an added benefit of being active and getting me into that law number three, move around at a slow pace?
That's a good advice.
Yeah, I think so many people get wrapped up in the stresses of daily life. And Mark, I did want to mention quickly, you mentioned the family life. Kelly and I can't remember what her husband's name is. Off the top of my head, Kelly and Ken, maybe, and you talk about how she gets up by the alarm clock early in the morning and the kids aren't even getting adequate sleep because they've got such a busy day planned. You know, all of that, just I read that and I was so enthralled because that's the life I lead, but I'm going to try not to.
Yeah, I mean, we have this mythical modern family called the Korg family,
mm-hmm.
and you're right. They, you know, they're trying to do everything right. They're trying to live by the conventional wisdom and do the right things, and it turns out everything they're doing seems to be thwarting their pursuit of health, happiness, fitness, leanness, and all those things. And that story has really resonated with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They go, oh, my God, this is me.
Okay, you know. That's awesome. And, Mark, you know, if we don't get through all 10 of these, I'm going to get angry phone calls all the time.
So number 8, get adequate sunlight. I cannot stress enough how ridiculous conventional wisdom has been in admonishing us about sun exposure. The fact that we don't. We consciously stay out of the sun every day because the dermatologists have suggested that's what we ought to be doing. It's completely ridiculous. It's antithetical to health. We were designed to get 20 to 30 minutes of direct sun exposure every single day to make enough vitamin D to keep our immune systems up. And I talk a lot about why this is in the book and how you know, how you can go out and get sunlight without getting burned. And so getting adequate sunlight is a is an absolutely essential thing. And just it sticks in my craw that the medical community to this day recommend that we avoid sunlight. Which gets us to number nine, avoid stupid mistakes. That's the point where we say, look, wear your seatbelt, don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, don't smoke cigarettes. Some of these, again, intuitive, but if we're going to live a long, lean, fit, happy, healthy life, we have to avoid those stupid mistakes.
Yes.
Finally, law number 10, use your brain. Humans evolved from other lesser apes because of our increased cranial capacity. We have to use this brain, and just going to a job and using a computer every day doesn't do it. We should be learning languages or having a hobby or are involved in music. We should be doing crossword puzzles or Sudokus or whatever it is that floats your boat. We should be using our brain creatively for some period of time every single day. There you have it, 10 laws.
All 10. Wow, Mark, man, that was fantastic. If I would have known that you have all this information, we would have brought you on for the full 2 hours,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it would have been fun.
So I reserve the right to call you back. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Give them, we have about 40 seconds, so give them the information. Where do they get a hold of you?
Okay, marksdailyapple.com is my blog and website. The book is a primal blueprint. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at your local bookstore, and you can go to primalblueprint.com, and I've got about a several-minute video where you can hear me and see me and see what I look like and hear me talking about the concept and the lifestyle, and I encourage everyone to embrace this or at least give it a shot.
Hey, guys, Dr. Ray Heinisch again. I just wanted to stop in and give you my post-interview thoughts. You know, in speaking with Mark before, during, and after the show, he has a natural humbleness about him that is really dedicated to helping get this information out to the public so that they can find the same kind of success, not just in body composition, which is what we oftentimes focus on here in the show, but also just in health and energy. You know, we talk about how if you're going to pursue a program, it's got to help you improve body composition, but not at the expense of health and energy. We want to achieve all three of those things. And I think a lot of the information that he provides sends you in that direction and discovering a lifestyle that really does promote all three of those benefits. So I'm really hoping you guys got lots of good information out of there. Listen to it over and over again. I know I will. Get the book, The Primal Blueprint, and check out his blog. He's got tons of free information on his blog. I really do encourage you to go check that out. In fact, we did a podcast on that a few months back. So, again, check us out on Facebook. Just go there, search for Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word, and we'll pop right up there. Friend us through there. Tell all your friends. Also, go to iTunes and give us a rating. It really does help us reach more people when people give us good ratings on there. All right, so thank you guys for tuning in. Again, I leave you with the Grilled Lincolns. Check them out at www.grilledlincolns.com. Also, you can get them on iTunes or Rhapsody. You can friend them also on Facebook as well. Thank you guys again for tuning in here at cutthefatpodcast.com. And all the sticky things that keep me silent are the same things that make you safe world.